Dear God, we place our faith in your promise of new life in Christ. L'chaim.
Yeah, we do. L'fucking chaim.
Oh, shit.
Hi, everybody. Hello. Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I am in a very good mood. We just had a fun date night. Maybe we'll take some phone calls. Maybe we'll take some feedback. I don't care. Try to figure out how long it takes me, if at all, to come up with something that I hate today.
Yeah, maybe people think it's weird that we have date night because it seems like we talk to each other all the time. We see each other. Our whole business is to talk to each other. But in the last 24 hours, the only thing we discussed with each other was directly on the show. So you heard our entire conversation.
Correct.
Other than a quick high-low before we have to go to sleep because we can't break tradition.
Last night, before I put the show up, and I was thinking, tell me how sweet this is. I go, you know what? I had fun with him, though. Where do we go today? What do we do? Nothing. We did the show.
We did our separate things, right. But the only time we were together was the show. So maybe we think the show is fun. Who knows?
I'm feeling good. Listen to this. A free hugs campaign that started in Australia has hit the streets of China and crashed with a resounding thud. Some huggers whose intent is to cheer up strangers were even hauled off by cops after they opened their arms to embrace passersby while handing out cards saying free hugs, care from strangers, and refuse to be apathetic. Embracing is a foreign tradition. Chinese are not accustomed to this. What are you doing in Australia? Are you all drunk all the time? That's ridiculous. You need people to hug. You know what? And I'm not mad. This doesn't count. People are giving me times already. This doesn't count. It's just something that's silly. It's ridiculous. This is back when, I forget the old talk show, but when John Lennon and Yoko Ono were on it, and they randomly called people from a phone book on the show, and the people are picking up. They're like, hi, and they're like, hi, this is John and Yoko Ono. We love you. What the fuck?
Show?
Yeah, we love you. And they randomly called people. Dick Cavett, that's who it was. And they just randomly called people and go, I love you. Like, these hippies are really making any kind of difference. Don't hug strangers. Don't hug strangers.
And also, I think a lot of people are scared of being, I would think.
Retards do that.
Right. I would think, because retards are happy about nothing.
Right,
that's why
right.
They live so nicely. But I would think that I was being played somehow if somebody called me and said I love you. Like, what are you recording this for?
Right,
how am I being punked?
Right.
What do you want from me? You know, and it's not only because I'm a New Yorker, it's because, you know what, then that means John Lennon and Yoko Ono don't know what love is.
That's true.
You don't just love everyone. You care for humanity, but you don't just call someone. So what, after John Lennon tells the whole world that he loves him, what is Yoko supposed to feel?
Right. I love you. Yeah, I know. I love you. I love everything. I love our refrigerator.
The Godfather says, free hugs? Can an outbreak of Bromsky be far behind?
Yeah.
That's what you should counter with. If somebody hugs you randomly, you should be like, oh, great, Bromsky.
You know what? Somebody hugs you randomly, follow them around the whole day. Go in their house, make
really
a sandwich with
me?
Them. That's awesome.
Yeah. Enough stalkers out there.
I would like to think that if back then Yoko Ono happened to call my house and she's like, I love you, I'd be like, okay, you want to fuck? Outstanding. You do know what love is. Well,
I have full confidence that you would have done it.
Thank you.
Knowing you this well, I mean, 4 years, but we've discussed a bunch of things. I think I know you well enough.
And yet still, you got to keep the relationship fresh with a random date night. Today, we went to, where did we go specifically? I have it here. Leigh Hales, right? LESHALLES.com.
According to Matt, I think
.net,
yeah. According to Matt, I think you pronounce it Leigh Hales.
I pronounce it Delish. I'm not just saying that because our meal was free. Because we are Keith and the Girl. Everybody knows this. We have our secretary.
Our assistant,
Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll call up places and, say, you know, Keith and the Girl want to talk about this and that. Maybe you'd be interested. Now we're going to be going to Evil Dead. We're going to be going to City Crab. We're going to check out new things. And we appreciate Cindy doing that. And then they would call, Cindy tells them, you know, you can call back and reach the hosts. And
directly.
Talk to them.
You know,
right.
They're still of the people for the people.
Right.
So
we go into the restaurant, and this is the first time that we've ever used Keith and the Girl to try to get something.
Right. We have things scheduled next week. Like, we have a full week next week of things that we're going to as media. But this is the first time we're actually going to it.
So you,
so we're excited, right?
Right,
because this is like a big deal. You know, we just recently got our media kit put together, you know,
right.
and there's like mistakes and you fix it and you PDF it and blah, blah, blah. But it's so exciting to have it. It looks so beautiful. And now it gives Cindy the confidence to call up and say, because all this time.
Cindy's very proud.
Yeah.
Of the kit.
Well.
And her newfound balls. I don't know if you girls talk, but right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot easier to call. So anyway, so we were going to have date night, and we figure, oh, this is on Matt's recommendation. So we are now going to, because this turned out well, we're now going to get a list from Matt of things, Matt B, of list of things to go to on a regular basis.
Right. Well, first we go to this. This is our first one, and we're gonna see how it works out. Is it going to be awkward? Do you get the check at the end and be like, I took off 10%? You know, that's the podcast discount.
Right, because no one talks about money.
Nobody talks about money.
Yeah, so what's established is that we are an established podcast with, you know, over a certain amount of downloads per month.
Right.
People listen to us. We're New York-based, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, of course we want you to come in. And we're like, do you want us to come in to pay for things,
right?
Or do you want us just?
Because we would love to talk about, you know, especially for New Yorkers and what to do and where to go. You know, they want to check out your restaurant specifically tonight. Today was a very last minute thing,
right?
And you know, so then they go yes, and then we're like, well, what if the place is fancy? And the big favor we got is that we were able to make a reservation within 5 hours.
Exactly.
Right? They're like, we'll have you. Don't worry.
So what we're thinking is either. At the end, we're taking responsibility for everything we order. We're like, well, this is what we would want to have ordered. We will be paying for this at the end if they decide to give us a check. But we're hoping not.
Right. And you go there and, you know, you put the name under my thing, or they wrote, or the email that Cindy sent was from my computer.
Yeah, she sent it from your thing.
And
but it turned out
Keith
to be
Malley.
A good thing, yeah.
So they put the name under Keith Malley and they go, okay, right this way. And you just want to go, do you know who we are?
Does that mean
do you
anything
know us?
To you? Yeah.
Right. So we're going to, you know, say we're learning and we just want somehow acknowledge,
you know.
The waiter's going to go like, I bet it's going to be a fucking free for all for you guys tonight, right?
Right.
You're going to go nuts. Let me know somehow. But I don't want to ask the waiter because, again, we're learning. We want to know the whatever and see what happens. Do we get the check? Do we get the whatever?
But on the way in, we go, they didn't check the reservation. They just were like, oh, there's two of you, walk this way. And I'm like, oh, no.
Right. Now we're important. Look at the
thing. Yeah, look, we had her. They're like, do you have her? So as she's walking us there, they're
by
like,
by reservation, do you mean understanding? Because then we have a reservation.
Do you have a Wink Winkerson?
Right.
Yes. So on the way, she's
if,
like,
if you actually save money on our normal ad rights, if that's what you mean by reservation, I will take a table for two, yes.
We will be eating the amount of ad rates. So she goes, did you guys have a reservation? I was like, yeah. And I'm a little nervous. And she goes, did she check it for you? And I go, I don't think she did. And she goes, what name is it under? And I go, Keith Malley. She goes, I remember making that reservation.
Right.
Is that a ding? Right. Do we get a prize? Literally?
Like, do you nudge her and you're like, right?
Right, right.
Can you believe it?
Did Cindy call you today?
Right.
Are you the one?
Cindy says hi. So then, you know, Henda's in the booth part. I'm in the chair. And she's, you know, she's eyeing the people. And she's like, there's our waiter. Now the waiter's talking to the boss. I think they nodded in our direction.
Right.
But are we being paranoid? is the whole restaurant about us today? And it's a nice restaurant. I do recommend it. And that, we'll get to the food. The place itself is like classy, but there's no dress code.
Yeah, it's not
they
pretentious.
They were extremely busy for a Tuesday night.
Totally.
But it's not pretentious. I was in jeans and a shirt.
Yeah, I called ahead of time to see if there was
a
dress code. Because Matt likes the finer things in life.
Yes, he does. And it is. It's good. It's a good French restaurant. You know who runs it? It's the main, it's this guy's main restaurant, Anthony. I'm thinking Bordeaux, and that's a wine, though. I know it's on the website, too. He's the guy that did Kitchen Confidential. He's the guy that wrote some book about sick things that go into a restaurant, and people are like, oh, it's a good book. I'm like, well, then you're not talking about the fucking dumps in the chili, are you? Michael, whatever your name is. Anthony, who knows?
Anthony Bourdain.
Anthony Bourdain, right. And he's responsible for, I don't know if it's canceled yet, there's a sitcom called Kitchen Confidential. It was based on that. Yeah, absolutely. On regular television.
It's a book that I would want to read, it sounds like, but at the same time, I don't want to read. I don't want to know that if I didn't finish the butter, you put it in the...
That's what I heard. That's the sickest thing that I heard, because they're trying to say things he did, and it's like he banged waitresses in the back, and he turned butter. They would, when you're done with your bread and butter, they take that butter and use it for hollandaise the next day.
I don't think that's and so
I just
crazy.
Think, I just think, dude, there's worse. I would feel like the book, I didn't even read it yet, but I know I'm going to feel like the book is lying to me. Then what did you do? Explain how you stir the hollandaise sauce. You're leaving a lot out.
See, you didn't just say anything, but I don't want to know what you were inferring. It's so disgusting. Why? But the weirdest thing is this guy wrote it and still is trying to run a restaurant. He's like, this is sick things
Americans
we do, but
are weird.
Come to my restaurant.
Right, and then we're like... And okay. I saw that guy, and I'm like, oh, it's this guy's restaurant.
We
the guy
go.
That fucks with the food. Don't get the hollandaise sauce, nudge, nudge.
He's famous. Let's go.
Exactly.
But we like the food. I just don't want to know. I don't care. You're eating escargot. We find escargot on the way. Like, I'm afraid to step on it on the way out to the car by our house. But you're putting it in your mouth, asking me if I want some because it's in butter now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No, thank you.
What am I worried he's going to fuck with?
Right, yeah.
I chose to eat snail.
Yeah.
And engorged duck liver. Ah, you pissed in something? Okay. All right. $100? Okay. So, yeah, I eat escargot. Mm-hmm. I get the foie gras.
Because you are the fanciest, most fancy pants of them all.
You could tell. You know what? I feel like I've always felt this, walking into a nice restaurant, that they see me walk in and go, who you fooling? Or, wow, you saved up for this. Or
but
did
you
just
around.
Win a prize?
But then you look around, and nobody gets dressed up for anything anymore.
Right, I see that.
My mother was talking about this because we went to see Mamma Mia.
That's what, this place made me comfortable.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's a brasserie, and I think in France, like, that's not a fancy place. It's
okay.
Just like a place. But anyway,
but
I should know after...
fancy food, though. It's fancy food.
No, I don't know.
The foie gras, you're eating the steak frites.
But I don't think steak frites means steak and french fries.
Okay, but it doesn't matter what it means. If you pronounce it ignorantly,
right.
Then it's nice.
But it's, I don't think escargot is so freaking fancified, you know?
I went to
a place in France that, for
they
10...
They probably laugh at it. They probably eat nothing like that. You know, it's like the Chinese.
No,
when
they
you,
do.
When
they
you
do.
Go to a Chinese restaurant, do you really think that they eat overcooked french fries, you know, and undercooked chicken wings
well, now,
in
now
China?
You're talking about ghetto shit where nobody eats none of that anywhere in the world but for $2 over there. But no, but I went, it was like a brunch special or something, and for 10 or 20 euros, I can't remember what... You can get, you know, first, second, and third course meals, and part of your first course meal could be escargot.
Right.
Now, I know that normally it costs more or whatever, but I think it's funny that we're eating escargot, and just the other day, the road manager's child was playing with a slug. I was like, oh, you guys eat
and
that.
And if he started putting it by his mouth, you'd be like, that's fucking disgusting.
So you know,
you know what you almost just did?
Do you know that I had to not think about what you were eating in order to be okay?
There's no way you would try that.
I cannot. I tried foie gras, and I mispronounce it every single goddamn time. But I cannot try it. Have you ever stepped on a slug with your foot? It
sure.
is the most slimy. You can't.
Right.
I washed my feet like 10 times to get it off. And I didn't even really step on it. I you know, went to step and started feeling it and stepped off. And it's the most slimy, disgusting. But no, throw it in butter. I'll eat it.
Foie gras is even more slimy. That's all fat.
I don't think so.
I don't think you could choke on that. I think you could swallow that whole. I'm serious.
No, why not? Yeah.
It's fat and oil, and it's so good.
I've eaten liver before. It's fine. But foie gras is just too much fat.
Yeah, yeah. Then afterwards, I had, some kind of beef, some kind of steak.
Yeah.
No, that was the same to me. That was like all meats to me.
Steak.
Yeah. Okay. But so I wish I'd tried something fancier. But it is fun. It is fun to go, I'll take two appetizers. I'm going to take this. And it's like, well, save room for dessert. I'm like, I won't, but I will have dessert.
But it is the kind of place where you can feel kind of fancified, but still not, you know, you can walk out of there not completely with empty pockets.
Right.
So you can make a decision to empty your pockets or not and still have a good meal. So we like this.
So Lehalls, L-E-S, H-A-L-L-E-S .net. As I was eating, though, my cap came off my fucking tooth again.
Your cap, yeah.
And I understand that it's a temporary cap, but I'm chewing on it. I cracked it with the good teeth. And then you're in like a nice place. You're like, how do I fucking spit this out?
Not the way you did, no.
How did I do? Well, I would have had to go to the bathroom. I'm eating here.
It's funny because you can't, like, Keith can't think, why don't I cover my mouth with the napkin instead of dropping the shit in my mouth? onto the napkin.
Is that
like,
what it did?
Like a kid going, ah,
I don't,
ah,
my
poo. Until it drops.
Okay. I'm learning.
No, you are.
I'm learning.
And I keep
we got
thinking,
a couple more dates next week, right? I'll
yeah,
learn.
I keep thinking, like, maybe some people are watching us like, oh, this is the media people, but they spit out their food.
Well, I got I also have my paper, knowing obviously we're going to do a show later, and I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm like, if I think of something funny, maybe I'll make a note of it, but I did like having it and going, maybe what I wonder what they think I just wrote down.
Right, and we're always doing that.
Right.
There's always paper and pen out wherever we're going,
right, right.
But...
The end, though, was awkward. We have our dessert. We have everything. Best creme brulee I've ever had, by the way. I think I'm getting older, and I'm sick of creme brulee. It used to be my favorite dessert. I
Matt
find it too sweet.
Matt told us we have to.
So I did. It's outstanding. It's outstanding.
It was really good. I'm not usually into creme brulee.
They have it. Hemda gets the, what do you call that?
Souffle. Souffle.
And it's she's all excited. We're such trash, baby. We're such trash.
I'll give it to you because my reasoning for getting the souffle.
Right. And I knew it would be.
I know. It's because on the menu it says you have to order it 15 minutes in advance. And to me it's like, oh, they're making it special for me and I have to order it in advance, which means it's fancy.
She's so giggly. I have to order 15 minutes. 15 minutes. It would have been better if she had to wait 20 minutes.
Totally.
If you had to call ahead.
Right.
Eat your meal. And then maybe it's ready for you. Maybe you don't get it that
right.
day. It's like when we were in the live show, 300, keithandthegirl.com/live, where I was saying Spooky's going to be such an artist where, you pay for
right.
the thing. Maybe he makes it for you. Maybe he doesn't.
Totally.
Yeah, that actually did happen, though.
Apparently that's
that
how he worked.
That actually happened
so
for
good.
The DVD. But anyways. Maybe he's like, do you find it cute?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just a joke, dude.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, you're like all excited about the whatever. And then she goes, hey,
I got to get the waiter because we already had our appetizers.
Right.
We're not going to take that long to eat our main course. So I got to get the waiter to get my 15 minutes ready.
Are we that pigs that we're going to finish in 15 minutes?
What, a steak? How long do you want me to finish? So I call the waiter. I'm like, oh, I saw that it said 15 minutes. I want to order it. And he goes, it really just takes like 6 or 7 minutes. And my whole thing just went to hell.
She didn't like that.
No, I didn't.
6 or 7 minutes isn't long enough for her.
No, I was like, you just ruined the fantasy.
Right.
I now know Cinderella is some dragon under a bridge. So sad.
And so we have the dessert and everything, and then Hemda gets the tea, which, by the way, listen to this. Here's a new spin on tea mugs. British inventors have created a self-stirring stainless steel mug with a tiny battery-powered propeller in its base that can stir your tea at the touch of a button in case America isn't fat a fucking enough. The mugs can even clean themselves. Just put a little hot water and dishwasher liquid in the cup and push the button. They sell for $23.75.
How
lazy are we?
That is so ridiculous, and yet I am dying for one now.
It's quite unnecessary.
It's so stupid.
You
it's like
what?
A tickle me elbow. Line me up. I will buy it.
You could put the tea bag in. You could, wrap it around a spoon and squeeze it. You could put in your sugar or equal. But a stirrer. I got to stir the whole thing around? Because I got to mix it all. Oh, I see. Ready for tea? I like to unwind with a little bit of tea. And it's spluttering all over. This fucking doesn't work.
I wonder if any
woman... How shallow is a nice teacup? You know what I mean? Like, it's thin on... It's just going to be spitting up all over. There's a commercial in there, a parody commercial
right.
in there. She's, like, about to drink it, spitting up in her face. This
oh, because
broad.
She pressed the button by mistake.
Right.
Yeah. I wonder how many women are already using it as vibrators. Whatever. It's battery-operated. Slap it on.
Sketch or stud? I guess you were saying 15 minutes sounds like heaven for the dessert. LOL, 15 minutes is heaven because Keith only lasts 5. That's not cool, dude. That's not cool. Portland, Oregon.
How long do you need, assholes? Date night, baby.
Date night. That's nice. She doesn't make me sad on date night. It's like he went out with me. It doesn't matter that, my good friend Cindy put the whole night together. Keith took me out. Don't think about it. Just no.
No.
So anyway, you have your tea. We're done with the night. And then we sit there and we're like, okay, so does he bring us the check?
Right.
And then I thought we'd get, my guess was, I've never been in this situation before. My guess was we were going to get the check. And then at the end, and then it would say the total amount, the amount of everything itemized, like a normal check, the total amount, and then discount that total amount, zero. So you know what you got.
To me, or that the, sounds
or
like...
The, or, that... you said the end. To me, the check is the end.
That sounds like a bad car salesman end. And you would have paid this price. Right. I circle it. I cross it out. And, you know, buy it now and get it for free.
Right.
No, I thought...
I gave you your food on the $50-$50 plan. What that means is if you eat it in 15 minutes...
and at the same time, order desserts that take 6 to 7 minutes.
I charged you $600, but I crossed that price out because escargot shouldn't be $600.
I really thought that a manager or something would come at the end and be like, I hope you enjoyed yourself or something. You know, thanks for coming. We'll see you again maybe another time, blah, blah, blah. Nothing happened. We're sitting there. The waiter comes around. Is everything okay? Yes.
And I say,
we're
here's what I say.
We're all looking at each other.
I say, we're done. And I say, we're done. Thank you. Everything was great. And I take my hands and I give the in baseball, you would go safe. I go, we're done. We're totally done. Like, right. Do you get it?
Like, if you can't hear me, you can see my mind.
If I was a regular customer, my words would be, I'll take the check now. But instead,
exactly.
I said, we're good. We're all done.
No check now.
So he's like, okay, and then that's it. Then we're guessing is the manager comes over. How was everything? Very good, thanks. Okay, good. And all of a sudden, he's gone.
Right, but
and
we can't tell.
Is that it?
We have a movie
to go to. Is that it?
We can't tell if the manager just, you know, in fancy restaurants, the manager walks around and asks everybody if things are okay.
Right.
So was that the media things are okay, or was that the whatever?
So we don't want this to ruin our night. We don't want to be, you know, late for a movie. But how long are we sitting there like dummies? Like, now he's talking to the manager. Now he's going in the office. Now he's da-da-da. Our waiter needs to have more balls talking to the manager. Let's fucking pick it up. And so what do? We finally get up.
Right.
After what? Did I say 20 minutes? That's what I'm guessing, right?
That's a long time.
Seemed like a long time, though. But anyway, we're walking out, and we're going to say to the waiter.
Everybody was waiting for everybody else
to say something.
The waiter admits, you know, I don't really know how this works. And I'm like, that's funny, because I don't either. I guess we're all waiting for each other, you know? And I'm like, and Keith suggested, do we have to, you know, sign anything or do anything? He's like, I don't, you know? And then I wanted to just release the waiter.
Right.
It's not.
Well, you're free to go.
It's not his fault. He's got a zillion, things to whatever. Right. He's like, all I know is I serve the food. And I'm like, you know what? I'm so sorry to even stop you from running around like a maniac. Don't worry about it.
We have an understanding, you know. I mean, it's not free. We do, you know, we charge to mention a product. But it's, you know, we understand we're not paying. However, it's not a cruise ship. You know what I mean?
You don't just get up and leave, do you?
You
shake someone's hand or something.
Right. Obviously, we left a tip, and then it's like, okay, everybody happy? I don't know. So it's very weird. And then we get to the front, and then he says, yeah, if you wouldn't mind talking to my boss, that'd be good. So we get to the front, and then the manager comes over, and we're saying, like, you know, goodbye and whatever. You know, everything was good. And he's like, okay, good. And then I'm like, and then I go, so, you know, we just want to see if we need to sign something or whatever.
And what are we going to sign?
Vibe? What was the vibe? Yeah, I was here, Keith. Your waiter did not pocket money. We have to figure something out for this to happen again. Cindy deals with things and likes dealing with things that have PR companies. This restaurant had a PR firm.
Not a firm.
Right?
It had a PR person. Yeah.
Okay.
In their main office.
So it's not the first time you gave away free food or whatever you want to call it.
Make a code.
Right.
Something.
You're good.
Now, again, we...
Get out of here.
I think we have something lined up on Monday night. We're going to compare the end situation to that. And hopefully it won't be as awkward.
When we do it next week.
Yeah, I think we're going to a restaurant on Monday night.
Right.
According to Cindy and her schedule.
Well, thank you, Cindy. No, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we leave.
Wait, the Godfather says, Hemda, you should have used What Do We Do Now?
What do we do now?
Duh.
He doesn't know, though. He doesn't know What Do We Do. He was ready to use it. Everybody was using it. What do we do now? That's what I'm trying to say. Oh, they're getting up. Thank God they're getting up. You know? I hope they shake my hand. We're waiting for him to say. He's waiting for us to say. Just somebody say the end. We're done here.
That should be the code. The end.
Right.
We should get a check that just says the end.
So we leave. Then we remember that not only did I take my food to go, then I left it. And I said, you know what? We're going back and getting the food. I went in and recovered my food. How's that for tact? There's your business tact.
But I love how before we enter the restaurant, Keith goes, I know that, you know, in business meetings, you're not supposed to take food to go. Am I allowed to take the food to go here?
And I go, because we are technically paying stuff.
We are, because this is like a commercial that would have cost money, blah, blah, blah.
Right. So I go back with no shame, and I'm fine.
This is awesome. This is like so exciting. I feel like getting free shit as media.
And you guys are listening, going, "Why didn't you do this a year and a half ago?"
I know,
because it took a year and a half to make a press kit,
right? but I feel like getting shit for free is us making it.
Yes.
Now people are like, "Yes, we do want you in our place."
Right.
Yay!
Right. To get a thing to go, you know, Evil Dead, we would be excited to have Keith and the girl for the whatever. It's like excited. Yeah, you would be.
Yeah.
Because we're going to sit there.
Yeah.
Of course you would be. I'm excited every day I wake up. Why wouldn't you be? So then we go to the movies. We're going to see Shut Up and Sing, the Dixie Chick story where
Natalie, the main singer, said...
the day before we went into war
with
Iraq.
She was in London, right?
London, right.
And she said, I am ashamed that the president is from Texas, because she's from Texas. So there was a big uproar in the States, and their career almost ended because of it. And basically, this is the story behind it. Now, you seemed like you were whatever about it, like you didn't know what you were getting into.
No, I knew. I knew. I think I thought it would be a bigger deal.
It was a big deal.
They had a death threat. They had a death threat. That was it, though. It wasn't like a guy was in... Now, I'm not saying that's not scary. Don't get me wrong. But they did kind of hype the movie, like, and they had to deal with everything, including death threats and this and that. A guy wrote a letter. Now, you can't trust people, of course, but... I don't know. Yes, it was a big deal. I did like the movie. I think I expected them to be more in a downward spiral. I remember most of these things in real time.
That's so weird. A girl-guy thing because
I was choked up a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll admit that.
And it was a downward spiral. It just wasn't all, you know, right. I'm going to get a gun and shoot you. It was just my life as I know it is ending slowly but surely. So that's the kind of spiral we're talking about. I love Jess NYC, by the way, on the feedback. She is so adorable. Oh, my God, I just realized who Cindy is. Ha, ha, ha.
That's a good assistant.
Oh, Jess.
you were in the room when Cindy was working.
Oh, special girl. When are you available again? Come on over. You're adorable.
So what was I going to say? Oh, I remember these things opening up in real time, and they're in London. You know, maybe I didn't know that. Maybe at the time I just knew they were overseas. And they couldn't deal with, in person, you know, everybody in America. You know, not now when we're going to war, you know, being anti-whatever, you know, anti-George Bush. And then they come back, and right away, they do the cover of Entertainment Weekly and talk back. To me, that's I definitely understood that everything was okay then. Like, they fought back. And then when they did Bill Maher, I understood, you know, it's like, look at everybody's chair and they're saying the right things.
Yeah, but you're looking
No, their albums were still, you know, not solid.
You're looking at more liberal things that they were on.
That's true, too.
And also they're dealing with
country
music. That is kind of
weird. I did think that when, they're like, oh, we said George Bush is dumb on Bill Maher and the whole audience is clapping. It's like, well, who's that help?
Yeah, what are they really dealing with? Well, it's Bill Maher. You can say George Bush is an asshole all day long and you'll get cheers. Right. But
I don't know. I give it a 7.5.
I give it exactly what I expected, except a little more emotional.
1 to 10, what do you give it?
I don't know. It's one of those things. Like, it's a kind of documentary thing. You're not going to tell people to go see it. You know, everybody knows what it's about. If you're interested in the Dixie Chicks in whatever way, go ahead. But I feel emotionally towards them.
I do remember this part. This was very emotional. We get small popcorn and a soda, $8. That choked me up. I got foie gras for $8. Interesting. Yeah, the restaurant's not a bad idea.
They had to kill a duck and remove its liver.
They had a force
popcorn,
feed
anyone?
It. Right. Worry about PETA. For the same price as popcorn and a Coke. Okay. Did you hear this about... you know what? I don't know. I don't recommend it as a movie, I guess. I did know what it was, but I didn't learn anything. People are dumb. What do you got to do? You learn people are fucking dumb. And you got to watch what you want to... Watch what you say.
Well, country fans are very Republican. They're you know, conservative.
Dumb. Right. You got to be careful what you say. In fact, it's so funny, like... Remember, there was their publicist, and they're painting their the Entertainment Weekly cover where they're rating on themselves, you know, boycott and
like
Saddam's whatever. I remember liking it in real time, and the publicist goes, nobody's going to get it. The public's stupid.
Right.
That's not something you should say on camera. And isn't that a shame?
As a publicist, though.
And did that upset you a little bit? Thinking like,
no, because she's not talking about
that?
Me.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not too stupid.
There you go. I think you summed it up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Natty Dread from Tulsa. Great idea, by the way, about the What Do We Do Now t-shirts. I saw one the other day at a coffee shop. And yes, most fans seem to be cool as shit. Side note, she was very cute and we might actually start dating.
Wow.
Fuck you, Dr. Phil. Thank you, KATG.
Tulsa.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. Good job.
And we are selling those things, keithandthegirl.com/store.
Brian Ward's asking, of course, and it's fair question. Did you, when you got the popcorn, did you say, do you know who I am? You know, should we give the card and go, have you heard of Keith and the Girl? All right,
right.
Here's your $8.
Yes. Okay. Instead, he buttered our popcorn so great, I felt the need to give him a Keith
and
the Girl keychain.
I like when you guys do that, when you put a little popcorn and then butter, then more popcorn. Not just drench the top and you got
he
five awesome
time.
Bites. Take the time. Thank you. Those are the little differences. Thank you, AMC. Those are the differences you notice. 13th and Park. Thank you. You got an ad a little cheaper, but okay. This was a few days ago. John Kerry said, was making a joke at a speech and said, it's supposed to be a joke. I didn't think he meant it as a joke, but says, education, if you make the most of it, you study hard, you do your homework, and you make an effort to be smart, you can do well. If you don't, you get stuck in Iraq. This is the guy that was going against Bush last time to be president.
I feel like
president.
You have to read that again because...
Education, if you make the most of it. I didn't take it as a joke.
It
makes
real.
Sense.
Not.
It makes sense. You know, you see
what?
His point. I'll tell you, education, if you make the most of it, you study hard, you do your homework, and you make an effort to be smart, you can do well. If you don't, you get stuck in Iraq. And obviously, everybody picks on him. Like, that means you're calling everybody in Iraq dumb.
You're saying our military is dumb.
Right. Right. Exactly. Right. But you do have
to. Don't say that. I don't care how you feel.
But listen. Okay. Okay. But you could see his point. It's like he doesn't have a leg to stand on arguing back because they're like, are you saying they're dumb? Of course I'm not saying troops are dumb would be his only defense.
So what is he saying? What can you possibly
what
be
can
saying?
You possibly be
yes.
saying? You could possibly be saying that these scumbag recruiters, a lot of them go to what? Give me that
yeah,
face.
Yeah, no, I agree
go
with you.
To
they
poor
go to
neighborhoods yes. where you yes. don't have a choice. The big reason I went in the Army is because, you know, I just got out of jail and I had nothing. And, I can't take my parents and my father anymore.
By the way, aren't you not allowed to be in the Army if you have some sort of record or if
I worked it off. I don't have a record.
Oh, okay. Oh, when you work it off, you don't have a record?
You make deals or whatever, but it was bad checks. I don't think you would.
Oh, really?
But it was bad checks, and eventually, you know, I went to jail. Then they said, no, you can't work off the time. You have to pay the checks. So I paid the checks, and that's it.
Okay.
And then not only did I get in the military, I got into, you know, some top secret bullshit trying to learn a language.
Oh, you okay. Know? Yeah, you were trying to be a spy,
where they
right?
check your record and stuff. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, but, you know, but then, of course, everybody's like, so you're saying everybody's dumb? He wasn't saying that.
Yes, he was. That statement is saying that, yes.
All right, here's...
That's what that statement says, yes.
Supposedly, here's what he meant to say. Do you know where you end up if you don't study, if you aren't smart, if you're intellectually lazy? You end up getting us stuck in a war in Iraq. Just ask President Bush.
Did you read that? You end up getting...
Do you know where you end up if you don't study, if you aren't smart, if you're intellectually lazy? You end up getting us stuck in a war in Iraq, just as President Bush. So he's calling President Bush dumb,
right.
Not the troops.
Right.
Now, what's weird about this...
What's weird about that is it's not even like a grammatical slip-up.
Right.
It's an entirely different sentence that means an entirely different thing. Had it been what, because you forgot the word us, I think,
right.
in that sentence,
right.
that's a whole different thing that's calling you stupid. But he didn't even say that sentence.
Right.
Is he not reading from a speech that somebody wrote him?
That's what it is. And
because
another
he's being
point,
spontaneous?
They're puppets.
It is.
I don't, I'll just say it. No, I think I got this memorized. Somebody that wrote this for me. They're just another sign they're puppets.
Exactly.
What are you going to do about it? I don't know. But I'm just saying, it's like, yeah, you messed up. Something somebody gave to you, you didn't understand it, and you still fucking said it.
Legion is reminding he was in the military. If he wants to say they're dumb, he at least had been there to know.
Right, there you go. Well, John Kerry was.
That's what he's saying.
Oh, right, right, yeah. Right. You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, by the way, is his only defense.
You know what? He
was in the military.
No, I was in the military. And of course, it's like any other job, and you have people of all kinds, but you can't say that people are there only for, you know, because they can't afford things. You know, if the big selling point is you can get an education and this and that.
There are also ranks. There are also, you know, you move up. It's just, is like any other job.
Right.
You have your secretary and your, you know, the person who runs around and does things. You have the vice president. You know, it's like any other job.
Right. So, you know, a bunch of soldiers send back a picture from Iraq that says, "Help us, John Kerry. We are stuck," backwards K, "here in Iraq," spelled with a K.
And everything was spelled wrong and fucked up.
No,
I love
funny,
that. That's
right.
That's a great response.
Until they go, "I think we can get you out, boys." Really, can you?
That's smart of you. You're really smart.
I didn't mean that.
I'm stupid.
That was a little
joke.
We actually thought, what the fuck?
It's kind of hot here, so.
A penny a pound. Yeah.
Okay.
Conservative columnist Ann Coulter has refused to cooperate in an investigation into whether she voted in the wrong precinct, so the case will probably be turned over to prosecutors, Palm Beach County's elections chief said Wednesday. Ann Coulter is the very Republican, I think it's Fox News, columnist that does spout out the mouth a little too much. She's the one that said September 11th widows were enjoying their husband's death because they love the attention, that they're, you know, these hens that have the money and now just, you know, want people to focus on them. If you are going to say such, you know, even if you believe all the dumb shit you say, you're obviously saying a lot of it for attention, but even if you believe it, understand people are going to follow what you do in your life,
just to
watch you slip, especially if it's something related to politics. And they're saying now Ann Coulter's doing something shady when it comes to voting. Election supervisor Arthur Anderson said his office has been looking into the matter for nearly 9 months, and he would turn over the case to the state attorney's office by Friday. Coulter's attorney did not immediately return a call Wednesday, nor did her publicist at her publisher, Crown Publishing. Knowingly voting in the wrong precinct is a felony punishable up to 5 years.
Do you even know what they're voting for?
Yeah.
Or what is this?
Anderson's office received a complaint in February that Coulter voted in the wrong precinct during a February 7th Palm Beach Town Council election.
Oh, well, that's worth 5 years in jail.
The good news is that, you know, it's nice to see an American really believe that every vote counts. But you're a celebrity. People are taking your pictures. It's on the internet. And then they go, wait a minute, she's not in her zip code. So that you, what, you could get some friend or whatever. You dumb dummy. That's so fucking dumb.
Well, P. Diddy was right. Vote or die.
P. Diddy, yeah. Good, good thing.
He's good American.
They're the victims of a Russian disease. A severe outbreak of alcohol poisoning already claiming dozens of lives. Across Russia, thousands have fallen sick and been hospitalized, like Vasily. At first, I didn't notice I was ill, he says. Then people started telling me I was turning yellow, and I felt much worse. Doctors say victims are suffering with toxic hepatitis, the result of drinking cheap, illegal vodka laced with poison.
Vodka's like 50 cents in Russia. How cheap are you buying your booze?
I love how the guy telling the story is acting like he himself is dying. It's the cheap vodka that they drank, and then they died.
We know what the liquid is. It's a disinfectant used to apply on hospital walls to prevent tuberculosis. I just don't understand why this stuff was added to a drink.
How cheap is alcohol that you're putting some kind of... I feel like I've been to the store. Windex is more expensive than cheap vodka.
Russians are the world's biggest consumers of vodka. Alcoholism is rife. And even though you can buy a bottle for less than $3 here, that's still too much money for many impoverished Russian drinkers. There are plenty.
You should have filtered that,
Holy
I think.
Shit.
Yeah, they're all getting yellow. They're starting to die. It's crack. We have crack. They have cheap vodka. All the bums are drinking vodka over there.
All the
poor people.
From.
Right. Put your money together and get a bottle for $3. What are you? What are you saving? What do you possibly say? They are drunks. They're fucking animals, you Russians. All right, time check.
What?
39 minutes. You fucking Russians. Asshole drunks. Coming into when I worked at the Jewish restaurant.
Wow, no wonder you were trying to... What'd you learn in the army? Who were you trying to spy on?
Russians.
Okay. The Godfather says, victims of bad alcohol? Damn you, Fleischmans. Keith is talking about why can't you spend extra money. This from a guy who only drinks Fleischmann's because it is a couple more dollars to buy the better vodka.
But I learned.
I'm just saying.
I learned to pay the extra
$2. Before anybody else picks on you, let me do it.
Thank you. Okay, fair enough. I'd also learned if I started turning yellow, pay an extra dollar.
It's too late by then.
He didn't even know. Friends are telling him. You're turning yellow. Ah, da gaka dosk.
Was that really Russian?
No, I don't know. Probably. So, anyway, I'd work at the Jewish restaurant, and you'd have the Russian Jews come in.
Uh-huh.
And
Russians are as aggressive as Israelis. Do you
yes,
find,
they are. Yes,
right?
Yes, they absolutely are.
Yeah, very aggressive. Very, oh, my God. They.
My teacher said I wasn't pronouncing words right, and I would say them, like, angry, kind of like when I do the Israeli voice now, and all of a sudden it was right.
Shut up.
I remember that very clearly.
Shut up.
I'm like, of course I don't really know Russian now, because...
Stop! Yeah. Nignet!
I believe you. Schnell? No, that's not... Schnell! Yeah, perfect.
Isn't that German?
I don't know. I don't even know.
Well, the army, they're full of geniuses.
That's why I was... I think I made my own point. Thank you. Very good point. So anyway, they come in and they're like, I want your good vodka, your best vodka. Of course, we give them whatever we have. Belvedere, Grey Goose, I forget. No, they tell me that I cut it with water.
The Grey Goose.
Yeah. And they're like, I know you cut this with water. What are you trying to pull? You know, give me the whatever. And like, I'll open up a new one in front of you. No, you don't have to do that. Just don't trick me. Be honest. Be honest with me. I'm like, I'm being honest. Like, no, why are you lying? Just give me the what, you know, whatever. And so, you know, this time, you know, I tell my boss and he's like, what the fuck is going on? So I pour it in front of him. I'm like, look. So I give it. And they're like, no, you're cutting it. I could tell you're cutting it. And... these fucking retards. And it's like, you good vodka, it burns. It should burn in your throat.
Isn't that the complete opposite?
It's the complete opposite, you idiot. So I go back and I get the $3 well shit and I pour it and I give it. And they're like, now see, when you don't trick me, that is good. That burns. Good vodka burns, you fucking idiot.
Holy shit.
Oh, you're turning yellow. You must have the good shit. And then he goes, it stings, that's good vodka. And you know what they do? This happened a lot in restaurants. Even with food, when they're like, this food isn't good, they go, here, try it.
The Russians?
Yeah.
Israelis do that too.
I'm supposed to try your food, but no, even worse, I'm supposed to start drinking some of your booze. My boss shouldn't have a problem right. If I start drinking. But no, go ahead. I know the boss. They know me.
Everybody knows you.
Everybody fucking knows
yes,
you.
Yes,
right.
Yes, yes.
Right. I'm trying to cut vodka, you fucking idiot. But the sting. I like the sting. Russians do a thing that Israelis do too. It's a Middle Eastern thing, too.
Russians are not...
No, I know that. But a big Middle Eastern thing, and Russians do this also, is they love the word, of course. They love to say, of course, and they love to say it mean. It's either very mean or very condescending. And it's, so this is the vodka you like. Of course! Or it's, you go up to get your order and you're like, I ordered the beef kebab and that hasn't come yet. We ran out of beef kebab. Do you have lamb? Of course! Of course! Of course you do. Yeah, of course! But you didn't tell me you didn't have that. Of course! Are you even listening? Of course! How in New York City are those falafel places staying open? You don't know what to order. You don't know what sides go with what. You don't know how much to pay.
And all
and everything's fucking, of course, or of course. I quit. I'm taking pizza. But we keep going. Keep funding terrorism, too.
In Manhattan, on the Lower East Side, there's a very popular, and I'm not talking about Mamoon's, talking about, not on the West Side, the East Side, there's a popular place that's open 24 hours, I think it's Turkish food or something, that owned by Arabs, recently, and now the Lower East Side has become way more popular than it used to be, right next door.
It's not like the place is just walking around with Israelis.
No.
You know? It's drunk artists.
Oh, totally. This place is open 24/7 and is constantly packed. Right, and owned by Arabs. Right next door, an Israeli Jew decided to open up the same kind of idea.
Right.
Another Middle Eastern place. And I'm like, how do I ask?
And they, of course, are the ones that hate each other.
Yeah.
Arabs and Israelis.
How do I ask, like, what in the hell made you? That's like opening up a pizzeria next to a pizzeria. Maybe one of you guys don't offer the ziti slice and the other one does.
Right.
Are you crazy? It's not even. And I know in Manhattan, you know, on every corner there's a Starbucks and everywhere. But let us walk a block. Right.
Are you saying your meat's better than their meat? Of course! And then you get a sandwich, you're like, this is falafel. We don't have meat.
Of course.
Of course! So you'd think I'd want chickpeas ground up. Legion says Middle Eastern also love to say mother bitch, a little fact you learned during tech support.
Mother bitch?
Yeah, mother bitch!
Never heard of that.
I don't know. I you know what? I would hear it honestly, I would hear it in movies, and I'd think they're doing that thing, you know, where the foreign person doesn't know how to curse right.
Right.
You know, abs fucking salutely, you know, or eat my balls, you slut of dog.
Right. I'm trying to think.
But maybe it came from somewhere.
I'm trying to think, like, what mother bitch would be in some Middle Eastern thing. And the closest I can get is Benzana, which means, like, the son of a whore.
So maybe.
I don't know.
Right. You got to learn our slang, too. Don't just try to take it word for word.
No, it's funnier when they don't learn the slang. Come on.
It is funny. It is funny. I do want to choke all yous, but...
But you're so cute when you try to curse.
So cute, mother bitch. I'm a mother bitch? Of course! A drunk man tries to get gas at a nuclear power plant. A highly intoxicated Oak Park man faces several charges after driving up the Braidwood nuclear power plant in search of gasoline Saturday, police said. It was the second time in 2 weeks that a drunken motorist mistakenly pulled up to a security checkpoint at the Braidwood generating station.
Well, if it's the second time.
The nuclear power plant, located off Route 129, where you cannot get gas, is about 60 miles southwest of Chicago. In the earlier incident, October 18th, Lloyd Kuykendall of Morris drove in. Why do you gotta give all his information? Drove in and tried to pay a guard, thinking he was at an interstate toll plaza. The 38-year-old man was charged for driving under the influence. What do you say? Like, yeah, hold on right there, and I'll get your gas. And phone call, and the police are coming. Now stay there. The police have the gas in their tank. Please wait for them.
And they're like, okay.
Right. Krista Lopikinski, Russian, a spokeswoman for Exelon, which owns the plant, said the two incidents were unusual, but that the plant's security force handled them properly. They went through no trespassing signs, Braidwood generating station. He thought it was a gas station. I guess he wanted to pay for gas. He wanted to pay.
Well, at least he's not accused of stealing.
Dumb people. Here's another one. Belleville, Washington. Amanda Brizadine attributed the 30 pounds she gained in the past year to an abandoned smoking habit and rich food. So when she went to the hospital with sharp stomach pain, she wasn't expecting to leave with a newborn son.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't know how I didn't know. I just didn't know, Brizendine said Tuesday from her bed at Overlake Medical Center's birthing center, where she delivered Alexander Joseph Britt by cesarean section. Doctors agree her case is not rare.
I would like to know how to get that way. No, seriously, because if pregnancy tests weren't so goddamn expensive, I would do one every month. I constantly think I'm pregnant. These people are pregnant
and they
giving
don't know.
Birth. And they're like, gee, I haven't had a period in a little while. May have had sex.
I just thought I was having a lucky half year.
That McDonald's is really putting on the pounds. How? I'm like that disease
time.
Where you don't know that you get that you're not getting your period at all. Ridiculous.
How do you look at your wife the same?
Are they married? Somebody said yes for the rest of my life. Why not?
Police Chief Paul Gower, totally different story, was tired of looking in Florida, was tired of looking around his department and seeing blubber hanging over the belts of some of his officers. We've all seen this and said this to your friend, like seeing a fat cop and being like,
not a fat cop, a super,
super fucking slovenly mess.
How are you even
who do you
walking,
run?
Let alone running after someone?
You know, you're getting winded doing traffic.
Yeah.
You're not going to be in any commercial anytime soon. He was tired of seeing the blubber hanging over the belts of some of his officers.
I'm sorry, when you say in a commercial, I don't know that outside of New York, they have commercials for liking cops.
Oh, you know what? I just meant recruiting commercials. But yes, we have commercials. Just, you know how like when you were, everybody had this, wherever you're from, when you were in school and the cops are your friends video. And mm-hmm. ask, go to a teacher, a priest, or a cop.
Right.
But in New York, they have them for adults. CPR is written on all our cars. It stands for courtesy, professionalism, and respect. That's trying to put a nice face on the NYPD.
Right. And all those guys in the commercials are pretty fit.
Right, right. So this guy sends out a memo calling these, saying these, quote, jelly bellies need to shape up.
Good.
In the end, the department lost 190 pounds.
Wow.
The department lost 190 pounds, all of them belonging to this guy. He was forced out as chief because some of the officers took offense to the memo. I take offense.
How are you embarrassed
that you took offense?
How is the police department so fucking sensitive? You have people aiming guns at you, but that offended you so much that you made someone lose a job.
Somebody shooting a rifle at your face saying, die, nigger, die. That you could take, but whoa, jelly belly?
Go ahead, put on your fat voice.
Wait. Somebody has jelly bellies?
That does sound like a fat voice, though.
Thank you. The October 11th memo bruised feelings on the 80-member force, drew at least one anonymous letter of complaint from officers about the chief's management style. It, of course, was covered with donut crumbs, and made his department the butt of jokes about fat cops and donuts. If they got their feelings hurt to the extent of do something about it, then I did what I was intended to do, he said unapologetically. A trim six-footer who was forced to resign his $92,000 a year post last week.
Oh, God.
That's just sad, man.
Holy shit. I gotta say,
Your name's Goward, G-O-W-A-R-D from Florida. We're all on your fucking side. Thank you. Because seriously, how do you walk around this, you know, let's take New York for an example, in any town, and you walk around and you see what's supposed to be fucking saving you. You know there's nothing but criminals walking the streets of fucking Times Square. It's like, you could do something about it if I need you in a pinch. No, you can't.
Cops get less respect because of it in general.
Right. So he's right.
Nobody's gonna not be on his side.
Right. Except now he's out of a job.
Right.
Somebody
now
will,
what does he do?
He'll be a trainer. He'll be something. Somebody give him
he'll
a fucking
job. He'll be a guard
job.
For something.
Yeah. A firm selling machinery to make tubes and pipes has sued internet sensation YouTube, saying the video sharing site causes havoc at its own business. Universal Tube and Rollform Equipment said its own website, theletteryoutube.com, had to be moved 5 times after millions of inadvertent hits made it crash.
Let me have that problem.
Right. The Ohio-based firm has now filed a claim in the U.S. District Court. It says it wants YouTube to stop operating. Okay.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I know Google just paid how many billions of dollars for you, but I'm just going to need you to quit. Or, alternatively, pay for it to create a new web domain.
What?
Pay $10?
Oh, no. Pay for the letter YouTube to get a new domain. And then what,
okay,
you have to start
$10.
Driving traffic over there? By the way, the letter YouTube on Alexa.com is 13,000. And I'm sure YouTube is like, you know, in the single digits, Y-O-U.
If it's 13,000 Alexa, compared to us right now, we just broke 30,000.
Yeah, we're 27,000.
So obviously they're that high, not because they're selling piping people
right.
are interested in.
Yeah, and YouTube, Y-O-U-T-U-B-E, is number nine.
Right.
Enjoy yourselves.
Sell ads.
Word.
Yeah, change your fucking business. Are you enjoying laying pipe?
Jesus. You know what? Start a video business and blame them.
Right.
You know? Ridiculous. Oh, my God. Please let me have the problem. KeithandTheGirl.com. Crash
right.
it.
Right.
Crash it.
That's what people want. People do shady shit to get that. People
right.
say KeithandTheGirl.com, K-I-E-T-H, to be a scumbag and get more hits.
Right.
You know, I want our site to be popular. Whoa. People are coming here. I was looking for a teenage girl's making out, but wait a minute. I can use some tubing. No, you change your business. You have a website dedicated to your fucking tubing if you still want that job. You know, and we need tubes, don't get me wrong. But fucking use YouTube for something totally different. Something totally different. What a wasted opportunity.
Yeah.
Anyway, Halloween, of course, came and passed, and of course, making the news, as it does every year, some kid dressed as Hitler and went to school.
Whoa!
Page of the paper 2 days in a row.
How did this 16-year-old get the media to follow him to
right.
school to take pictures at his school. Like, how, why, when somebody just got a tattoo of two different logos, like two different people, two different logos of ours, why aren't we in the newspaper?
Right. That's a very good point.
How is fake Hitler yet again on fucking Halloween?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Go to keithandthegirl.com. It's been updated a little bit. Go to, under the form, slash forms, the thing, competitions and promotions. And as a sticky thread, a thread that sticks there, you'll see a list of media outlets. Add media outlets and write to them. And let them know about the iPods we're giving away. Let them know about the tattoos. These dudes are getting tattoos. They want the story. We don't know how to do it.
There are people.
It took
writing...
us a year and a half to get a free meal. You guys are saying, how do I help? How do I help? And we appreciate it. This is how you help. Start writing magazines again. Because when we did bring it up, again, this is one of those things. When we did bring it up, we were, you know,
on
the news. We were in New York Times. Yeah. We're in Washington Post. It's time again. We need press.
The forums really makes a difference. When you guys start writing into people, it does.
They get it.
They respond.
They get it.
So, by the way, since they are going to tell them about our contest giving away iPods, you want to give one out now?
Get it!
Let's give one out now. As you pick a winner, while you do that, I'm going to tell you how you can join and win this limited edition Keith and the Girl Nano. The only way to get it is for us to give it to you free. And here's how you can get it, keithandthegirl.com/contest. Just read the rules. They're very simple. It's a MySpace contest, keithandthegirl.com/contest. And right now, we're going to pick a winner.
Here's the winner. Peter /burger77, myspace.com/burger77. You have the logo on the front. We're in your top four. You have Brumsky as your music. And you have... 51 friends. I like it. You just want a Nano. MySpace.com/burger77.
Burger77. Go over there and congratulate him because he only has 1 week to get in touch with us via MySpace. MySpace.com/KeithandTheGirl. He has to send us an email with his address there. 1 week to do it or somebody else takes his Nano.
There you go.
Get in touch. Thank you so much for entering.
And we're still giving away more Nanos, so don't think, hey, I won't tell him.
And also, if you...
Right.
And if you weren't picked, you still have a chance to win. Don't re-enter. You can only enter once. So if your name hasn't been called, you're still entered. And it's going to be at random times. We're just going to pick a name, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Because you know what? Don't let Hitler, fake Hitler, who, by the way, Legion says fake Hitler makes me want to fake kill some fake Jews. Don't let fake Hitler be a story. Don't let this New Year's, the top story, be how to avoid a hangover fucking how you doing. Don't drink so much and take aspirin and lots of water.
If this is what we need to get in the news, then Keith, from now on, will do shows in a Hitler outfit, and I will write in pen little numbers on my arm. Is that what it takes, people? Why don't you tell the media?
There you go.
That's what we're going to do from now on.
And by the way, a priest and dressed up, you know, like a pedophile with a little boy's, head on the guy's dick. That doesn't bother me. Satan walking around doesn't bother me. But Hitler, oh, goodness gracious. Again this year? And to be shocking. Can you believe it?
But you know what? In the defense of some Satans, is it sexy Satan?
Right, if they're sexy.
Because that's not, you know.
You know what would
really
have been okay?
Christ's word, because it's it's probably a red nightie and a tail.
Yeah, this was a dude, and he's not sexy Hitler. Front page.
I would like to see sexy Hitler next year.
I would be okay. That would be okay.
That would be better.
A hot chick in an SS outfit.
There you go.
Goose step into my heart. Thank you guys so much. We're going to catch you live on Friday, of course, midnight. Peace.
KeithandTheGirl.com.